believe? You know? That's really a loaded question when you stop and think about it. Because just to say, oh, yeah, I believe. Well, what do you believe? You know, that's the real question. And we're going to look into that this morning and see what God wants to show us. And 2 weeks ago, I shared a message with you about taking Jesus for granted. And we kind of explored that. And we do, even as Christians, we allow too many things to distract us from what our real purpose in life is in Christ Jesus. And there's a lot of things that distract us, including all of the questions that we have. You know, you can't read the Bible and not have questions, you know. And thank God Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, you know, and he answered all the questions in a position to. Anyway, I'm gonna change microphones. This is not going to work. All right. Okay, this will be better. Maybe it won't stop. It did last. I mean, the one I had just put up did all week last week, so I'm not going to put up with that. But anyway, part of our reluctance in believing is not stepping out into ministry like we should. And, you know, we can use the excuse, well, I've got all these questions and I don't understand how to do this and how to do that. But when we have the Holy Spirit living in us, we don't need all the answers. Because he'll give you the answers when you need them. And that all comes back to trusting God. And that's what true believing is all about. Trusting God. Amen? So instead of knowing, you need to be trusting God to work in you and through you in his kingdom here on this earth. God doesn't need, you know, we're not going to be evangelizing when we're in heaven. But he needs us here right now to do the work that he's called us to do. So this morning I want us to confront ourselves with a couple of questions, kind of get us thinking. And one of them is, why are you here? Not just why are you here this morning, but why are you here? As a person, as a Christian, what is your reason for being on this earth? Another one is, what is your motive? What is your motive for being here? Why are you a Christian? Why are you a Christian? See, for a moment, we need to think through our purpose in life for being a Christian and actually even being a part of this church or part of a church, if it's not this church. And if I were to ask you, what is the mission of this church, what would your answer be? What is the mission of this church? Yeah. That's right. Well, that's part of our mission. Yeah. Let me share with you a church survey that was taken here several years back. And I think it's just as valid today and probably worse than what it says. But out of 1,000 churches, this question was asked, what is the mission of your church that you are in? And 89% of the people that were surveyed said that the church exists to take care of me and my family's needs. 89%. Now think about that. That their mission and their motive is all inward. It's a selfish motive. And as a pastor, I mean, through the years, through 30 years of ministry, this is so evident in so many people that I've worked with. It's all about them. And it's not about anything else. Now, the other 11% said that the church exists to win the world to Christ. And that's the mission. That's what it should be. That's what Jesus has called us to be. And this mission and this motive is outward. It's not selfish. It's willing to pay the price to go out and do what Jesus died for, literally, and what his desire is for us. So you see, ours is really a question then of believing. We need to believe unto something. We need to have a purpose for our believing. And one of the things that we need to believe in is our salvation. That's the reason I said a while ago, believing is a broad category. But part of what we're to believe is for our salvation. Now, let's look at John chapter 20. And we'll see what Jesus said about believing. And this has to do with salvation. John 20, verse 29, he's talking to Thomas, one of the disciples. This is the one everybody calls Doubting Thomas, because he just couldn't believe Jesus had been raised from the dead. But anyway, Jesus says to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen me, and yet they still believe." Amen. So according to the words of Jesus himself, if you believe in him this morning, then you are automatically blessed, because you have not seen him like the disciples did. Praise God. And Jesus is still talking about salvation. But he also talks about a mission motive in our hearts. Look on down in verse 31. He says, "But these are written," talking about the Word of God, "that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Now he's talking about salvation here. But then he goes on to say, "and that believing you might have life through his name." By believing you might have life through his name. And this is the mission or the purpose, that you have life. Not the life of the world, but the life of the kingdom of God. So see, you're not saved to just stay like the world, the way you were before you were saved. You are saved for a greater motive, a greater purpose in life, and that is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with everybody that you know or come across. Amen? And remember, 89% are not doing that. 89% are not doing that. Believe unto salvation. You don't have to raise your hand, but do you believe unto salvation? But also, do you believe unto life? Do you believe unto life? Now, what does this statement mean, or this question mean? Well, it does not mean that you are to live by a set of rules and regulations. So many churches have rules and regulations that they call the people to obey. And that's not life in Christ Jesus. It also does not mean that you are to live by denominational beliefs. You're not to live by denominational beliefs. That is what has caused so much confusion in the church world, is because there are so many beliefs that are set up in little individual denominations, we call them. And again, all that brings is confusion. Confusion. And it does not mean that life is coming to a church service or singing a few songs or hearing a message and going home. That's not the purpose of being a Christian. This is a time of fellowship with us, one another. And this is a time of our fellowshipping with God the Father together. Okay? But this is not it. This is not what God called you for. And so we need to learn how to enjoy one another and enjoy being in God's presence. Enjoy worshiping and magnifying His name. Amen? And it does not mean that you are to live by some experience, by some person doing something that really excited you. I believe in signs and wonders and miracles because they're in the Word of God. But we can't take a miracle and then make a camp around it and stay there. If we do, it becomes like a denomination. The miracles in the church are to be glorified, praise God. You know, thank you, Father, for moving. But then we move on. You see what I mean? So, Jesus said that life is that you and I can live by walking in His Word. And that His Word will work in your behalf. That's life. You are to walk in His Word, and His Word will work for you. You see, the devil always has to come in and interrupt and tell, well, you know, okay, so you know, they're giving a testimony over here about something that God did because of the Word in their lives. But, you know, don't worry about it, because it's not going to work for you. And he continually just pours out these lies like that so that we don't walk a life in the Word of God. So many Christians today don't even crack a Bible to look at the Word of God to see what it says. But God has life that's in that Word that He imparts to us when we learn the Word and when we purpose in our hearts to walk by that Word. Now, Jesus says what kind of life that we'll have. Let's look at it in John 10:10. John 10:10. This is our purpose. The thief comes but for one reason, to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come, says Jesus, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Life more abundantly. And to have life more abundantly, you have to believe what Jesus said in this verse. You have to believe it. He has spoken truth to us, and we receive that word by faith and believe it and walk in it. And I really believe that many Christians today are holding on literally by their fingernails and not realizing what this term believe really means. You see, as Christians, we shouldn't live every day desperate. We shouldn't live every day allowing the enemy to just stomp us in the ground. If we truly believe what Jesus says, if we truly believe what the Word of God says, then we ought to be walking like the Word says. Walking as overcomers. Walking as victorious Christians in this life. Understanding, yes, that there are going to be trials and tribulations, but believing the truth that Jesus said, don't worry, because I have overcome. And when He is overcome, that means that the Jesus in you can provide everything that you need to overcome your situation. That's life, and that's believing. To truly believe in something or someone, you have to have your complete trust in that person or that of which you're a part. Complete trust. And again, we as Christians today don't have that kind of trust. And when we don't have that trust, there's an indication that we don't really believe. You see what I'm talking about? We haven't caught the full understanding of what it means to believe. So let's go down turn over to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Now, Jesus is talking to His disciples. And this word is just as real to you and I today as it was when it fell upon the ears of the disciples. Mark chapter 16, beginning at verse 15. And Jesus said unto them, Go into all of the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Do you believe that? You see, truth is, we don't really believe that. Or if we believe it, we don't believe it's for us. Because if we did, we would be doing what Jesus said that he wanted us to do. Go into all of the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Believes in what? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the gospel message. And when we get people to come to that understanding, come to that belief in their heart, that they have come unto salvation, and then they need to be baptized. Now, I periodically, you know, make this statement about baptism. Baptism does not come, as far as God is concerned, to babies or children. Baptism comes when a person has a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, believing upon him, and then comes baptism. You see, God is a God of order, and man has taken God's order and messed it all up to fit their own denominational belief or whatever. But we have to come back to the Word, because it's the Word that's going to produce life in us. It's the Word that's going to direct our pathways where we go in life. And so we have to believe what Jesus has said. So those that believe are to be baptized, they're saved. But he that does not believe shall be damned. Now we got a whole world full of people out here that don't believe that there's a hell. And we've got a whole world of people out here that does not believe, even if there was a hell, that God would send anyone to hell, because, you know, God's a God of love. And God is a God of love. But God is a righteous judge. I've always had an interest in the court systems, because I was in law enforcement. But I think about those judges, you know, and by the way, none of them are righteous unless they're a Christian. But these judges have to make decisions that affect the lives of people. Not just the criminals, the guilty people, but also to uphold the laws that have been established in our nation by a people. Amen. But when it comes to God, God is righteous in himself. He is the righteous judge. He is the one that one day will judge this world. And knowing that, God sent a provision that can deliver people from this judgment. And his name is Jesus. That's how much God loves the world. He sent a way that they don't have to die and go to hell. So the next time you hear somebody say something about, well, I don't believe in hell, then stop and talk to them a minute. They need help. Because one day they'll break hell wide open when they die if they don't have Jesus. Okay? Now, in this verse, Jesus was calling people to salvation. And it was to come through the disciples, and things haven't changed a bit. He's calling people unto salvation through you and I today as disciples of Jesus Christ. Now look at Mark 16, verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? That's truth. And if we truly believe, then we have to accept that, that is a part of my life as a Christian. I don't care what a denomination teaches, this is what Jesus said. And this mentality that we have, well, you know, that was all passed away when the apostles died. I've searched the word from Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, all to the end of Revelation, and I have not found anything in God's word that said all of that passed away. We are under a new covenant with God, and everything in that covenant is just as valid today as it was the day that Jesus spoke it, or that Paul, by the Spirit of God, spoke, or Peter, or whoever. It's valid. Amen? All right. So Jesus is talking about believing unto life. Believing unto life. So we need to experience the power of the gospel. If we say we believe, we need to experience it. That means step out and experience that power. And you see, when unbelievers see the gospel expressed in power, then it gets their attention. And then that stirs their hearts. It puts a hunger in their hearts that they want to see and meet this Jesus that you're talking about. So we must believe ourselves before we can ever get anybody else to believe. Now, if you don't really believe, then you live a confused, frustrated life as a Christian. The truth is, you're probably not a Christian if you don't believe. But if you really believe, if you really, really believe, then you will obey just like the disciples did. Mark chapter 16, verse 20. Jesus speaks to the disciples and he says, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs and wonders and miracles." You know what I like about that verse? It said that the Lord went with them. Amen. And that's still true today. The Lord goes with you. Everywhere you go, everything that you do, he's there with you to cause people to encounter the kingdom of God and the power of that kingdom. Now, what would you do if a Muslim or Hindu asked you to prove that Jesus is real and that his power changes lives? What would you do? Run? Hide? No, you see, when you're confronted with something like that, you're going to have to say something. And so what would you say? The only thing you can say is the truth. Tell of the truth. And if you don't know the word, you're not going to know the truth. I'll tell you right now, you might not just have that encounter with Muslims or Hindus, but I'll guarantee you, you can have a so-called Christian ask you the same thing. I've had that happen to me. You know, I'm a Christian, and I don't believe in the power of God. I don't believe in the Holy Spirit. Then how lost are you? You see that? It all comes back to the Word of God. Do you believe the Word of God? You're going to have to pursue life, and you're going to have to pursue the word. You're going to have to learn it. You're going to have to believe it, and you're going to have to apply it. Every time that you have an encounter with someone, you're going to have to apply the word of God. You're also going to have to pursue Jesus. Pursue him every day of your life. Look to him. And by looking, I mean with your whole heart. Just let that hunger for him reside in your heart continually. Don't ever let the hunger die. Keep hungry for the Lord. And look for him in other people that you see walking with him. Let me tell you, that's the people you need to get close to. Those that you see the power of God working through, you need to fellowship with those so you can grow. Amen. And this is something that only comes by, you know, staying with up close to God and up close with people who are walking with God. And then we got that old excuse, well, yes, Pastor, I know, I've heard all of that, but how do we know that this applies to us today? You know, and wasn't that just for the disciples of Jesus? And, you know, there are going to be people that'll ask you that. And, you know, I used to ponder that because, you know, I've had many a person ask me that through the years. And finally one day I had just, I mean, a profound revelation of a good answer. In Scripture, in God's eyes, in God's covenants, there's only two kinds of people, the Jew and the Gentile. Doesn't make any difference what the world says. We're not talking about worldly things. We're talking about godly things, the things of God's kingdom. And God says there's the Jew and there's the Gentile. So let me ask you a question. Are you a descendant of a Jew or a Gentile? Yeah, most of us are descendants of the Gentiles. So the Jews rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ, and so that same gospel then was preached to the Gentiles. But God gave the Jews the first opportunity to receive the gospel of Jesus. And when they turned it down, then God sent and opened the door for the gospel to be preached to the Gentiles. Now, we find this in Acts chapter 33. Acts chapter 33. And this is where you and I had an open door. We never saw it. We weren't present when it opened. But this is your opportunity to receive Jesus because of what God did in this family's life over 2,000 years ago. So I want us to read about this. I want you to just listen as we read it. Because this is where God sends Peter. And he sends him to a Gentile to preach the gospel for the very first time. So let's look at it beginning in verse 33 of Acts chapter 10. So I sent for you at once, and it was good for you to come. And now that we're all here waiting before God to hear the message the Lord has given to you. This is in the household of a man named Cornelius. He wasn't a Christian by gospel standards, but he was a godly man. He believed in God. And so much did he believe in him that he prayed every day and he gave tithes unto God. Okay? So God saw this in the heart of this Gentile. And so that's when God decided to bring the Gentiles unto salvation. So here we are in that living room or whatever, and Peter has come to preach to him. And then Peter replies to him in verse 34, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. Praise God. Amen. No favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of the good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after John began preaching his message of baptism. Now I want you to stop and think about this. You know, this Jesus himself was out declaring the kingdom of God. But these Gentiles still heard what was going on. You know, they were in these crowds out there that followed Jesus, listening to see what was happening. And so, verse 37, you know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after John began preaching his message of baptism, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Amen? All right, verse 39, and we, the apostles, are witnesses of all that he did throughout Judea and in Jerusalem, and they put him to death by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him to life on the third day, and then God allowed him to appear, not to the general public, but to us whom God had chosen in advance to be his witnesses. We were those who ate and drank with him after he was raised from the dead. And he ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify that Jesus is the one appointed by God to be the judge of all, the living and the dead. And he is the one all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who what? Believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name. The gospel message right there. Verse 44, and even as Peter was saying these things, this is exciting. I can imagine just how Peter felt. But even as he was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. Amen? And that's the kind of services we need today. Amen? That the power of God just be so heavy, so present, that he's there to do what he's been sent to do. And so the Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Let me tell you, they were in shock. Because as far as they knew, the Gentiles weren't supposed to receive it. And at this point in time, Peter had a hunch, because he had had an encounter with God before he came. And so for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. I want to see these kind of services in our church. I want to see people come to God and then all of a sudden begin to speak in tongues and start praising God. You talk about a godly encounter, that's the way these encounters should be. And how do I know? Because we just read it. It's in the Word. It's a part of the truth that Jesus demonstrates everywhere the Word is proclaimed. And then Peter asked in verse 47, can anyone object to their being baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit, just like we did? And so he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And afterward, Cornelius asked him to stay with them for several days, in which Peter did. And multitudes came to a knowledge of Jesus Christ in that city. Now, this, I said earlier, this was even a shock to Peter. Because still, they were in a time span where the Gentiles were not to receive. But he did not believe that the gospel was for the Gentiles. He would not have believed that this same gospel was for you and I either, or you and me either. If he didn't know any different and he was fast forwarded to 2014, he'd have the same belief in his heart. You know, y'all are Gentiles. Y'all not supposed to receive this. But when God says do it, well, then you do it. Amen? So it was God's desire, and it still is God's desire, that all men might come unto Christ and be saved. That's God's heart. And if you are saved under the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are not immune to sharing the gospel or witnessing to other people. You're not immune to healing the sick and diseased. You're not immune to laying hands on people and opening the eyes of the blind, or opening deaf ears, or causing the lame to walk. you're not immune to releasing captives into freedom. You see, this was all done by the compassion of Jesus Christ. And you have the same Jesus living in you, and the same compassion should be filling your heart if you believe. Amen? Hasn't changed a bit in 2,000 years. Do you believe? Do you really, really believe? Then you, if you truly believe, then you cannot hide your responsibility that God has given you for this world. Amen. Maybe you need to ask God to share His love for this world with you. It's in His heart. It's in Jesus' heart. And maybe you need to ask that God reveal that into your heart. Now, 2 weeks ago, I shared a message about Peter selling out to God when he recognized how much Jesus loved him and cared for him. And so it's time for us to wake up and realize the same thing. We're here in this world. This is why we're here, to walk out our belief and fulfill our purpose in Christ Jesus. Amen? So don't get caught short of what God has called you to do. The best thing, you know, if you came to this church from another church, or, you know, maybe a completely different denomination or organization or whatever, you know, hear what I'm saying. Get into the Word and find out that what I'm saying is true. And then go back and look at where you came from, and you're going to see that that's not true. Amen? Now, the most powerful weapon that you have in your arsenal is feeding your belief. Feeding it on the Word of God. Because the more you get the Word in you, the stronger you're going to believe. Amen? And so this morning, I'm gonna ask us as a church to do something. And it has to do with the Word of God. And I want you to understand this. This is not just some Bible reading, you know, that so many churches get themselves involved in. And I'm not interested so much in how much you read every day. But I want you to start on page 1, Matthew chapter 1:1. Of the New Testament. And I want you to begin to read Scripture every day. Every day. You know, find a little time that you can and read it every day. And I don't care if you read a chapter or if you just read a verse or two. I want you to come to a place in your heart right now where you are going to purpose to understand what you read. Because when you understand it, then it'll stay in your heart. Now, you need to ask yourself a couple of questions. When I read, let's just say I read the first 3 verses. I need to ask myself a couple of questions. Do I believe what I just read? Do I believe what I just read? And secondly, do I understand what I just read? Do I understand it? And then meditate on it. If you don't understand it, then ask the Spirit of God to reveal it to you. Now see, this is what I'm getting at. You can't read a whole chapter and do this, or you'd be there for days. But take your time. We're not trying to win a contest here. We're trying to find truth in God's Word and get it in here. Okay? This is a totally different approach than I've ever asked people to do. So let's see if we can do this and see what God begins to do in your life and even in my life. So are you willing to do that? Amen? And as we do this, we're going to begin to see a difference. Not just in the church, but we're going to see a difference in the lives of people that make up this church. Amen? It'll change your life. And you'll develop such a hunger for Jesus and for his word and for the life that he wants you to live. Okay? So let's start this tomorrow and make sure, I don't care if you do it the first thing in the morning or the last thing at night or whatever, spend that time and stay with it until you understand. Now, when you're in Matthew chapter 1, it's a chapter that you want to just read over real quick because it's a genealogy. But let me tell you right now, there's some truth in that genealogy. If you'll allow the Spirit of God to show it to you. I've seen several things in it, and it's powerful. And it'll just blow your mind. So don't just read over that right quick and move on to chapter 2. Take your time and let the Spirit of God teach you. Okay? Now, how many of you believe unto salvation? I don't want you to raise your hand. I want you to think about it. Do you really believe unto salvation? And secondly, how many of you believe unto life? God kind of life, not the world's. How many of you believe unto the God kind of life? And how many of you believe unto purpose? Why are you here? Why are you here? And I want you to answer those questions. And part of this you'll answer as you read the Word of God and begin to meditate in the Word. But I want to see you grow in these three areas: salvation, life, and purpose. Salvation, life, and purpose. Because when you do, you're going to become a different person. A totally different person. Amen? So, let's start demonstrating our salvation and our life that God has given us. And let's demonstrate it to a world out here that is lost and will be lost for eternity if we don't do what we're supposed to do. Amen? All right. Well, let's pray.